The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander buttoning up his shirt. Pardon me. Brief button up, Kelly. Kelly Bidlin.
I was having shirt struggles this morning, too. See, like, the collar's a little weird today. I don't know.
The issue is where the laptop hits the television screen.
And yeah, you always have the same issue.
Yeah.
I got dry cleaner issues.
What's wrong with the dry cleaner?
I don't know. Like, stuff comes back from the dry cleaner, and I'm like, why is this, like, collar, like, pressed differently or something like that?
It's just weird, man. I hope you get through it.
Yeah, I'll try. Kelly's like beyond first world problems. Right?
Kelly's last day before he goes on a little vacation here on the show today. Zach and Crack, Zach Cohen on the tennis world and all his picks. NBA draft 6 days away. He's got thoughts. He's got bets on that. Matt Grissom will be here to talk College World Series with us. And, of course, Crack himself, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger. Speaking of the College World Series, Kelly, this might be a good moment in time because the theme of this, I don't know, not the sole theme, but one of the themes of this show, it seems like over the course of this week was we talked with Rufus about the scar tissue of bettors, and I often talk about overcoming negative variance in your betting. FSU goes down. They lose to Tennessee. Our futures go down. I had FSU at 35-1. They were terrible yesterday, by the way. They had base running errors left and right. They were just terrible. But that check swing that wasn't called back in the previous part of this bracket.
What, that makes a difference, Gil?
Maybe the complete difference in the entire thing. Because if they win that game, right, even if they have that terrible game yesterday, they got Jamie Arnold on the hill today, their ace going up against Tennessee for a chance to get to the College World Series final, best of three, which ends up being Tennessee versus Texas A&M. So congratulations to those who have those tickets still there. But, you know, that check swing is just one of those things where you just have to eat it as a bettor, right? You're just like, well, it happened. And that's that, and we'll never know. Doesn't guarantee they would have gotten
right,
to the finals,
course, yeah.
But we'll never know. They were set up beautifully, let's put it that way. And so it got me to thinking, because that juxtaposed with a relentless stretch of women's tennis here in the last 3 days, where we're on the cusp of hitting at least two big dogs, if not three, and they all go by the wayside. It just occurred to me, why don't we do a little, because we don't often do this, but when you get in a stretch like this, and when you talk about overcoming negative variance, we're all human. I want to just put my money where my mouth is on this. Remember Drew Dinsick, our buddy Drew, who hit Yannick Sinner in the Australian Open, and then he hit the Celtics in the NBA Finals. But remember, everything in between, he was getting destroyed, and he was in this awful rut. And I just felt bad for Drew as he was doing it. So we just decided, I decided last night, this morning, I'm like, let me try to think off the top of the dome. Like some of the stuff that we've lost here in the last year or so. Now, we can go back, right? If you're just landing on this show in the last year or two, like you won't remember Tankapalooza or Swiatek in the French Open or the Washington Nationals or even 2022. Let's go as far back as a year and a half to 2.5 years ago. 2022. What is Trump's line? We're going to do so much winning, you're going to get sick of it. 2022 was that for us. And that was still when, like, let's just get to tennis. We'll start there, right? Swiatek was still, like, plus 750. She was plus 750 in the in Indian Wells. Hit that four times, plus 480. We hit all those.
God, it seems so long ago
now. It's just two years ago.
I know.
Swiatek in the Miami Open the next week, plus 450. Hit that four times. Hit plus 350 two times. So we're just 200, plus 180. Literally the only one in minus money at minus 107, hit all those. NFL draft, 13.77 units. Remember, Derek Stingley going third was the big linchpin there. First cornerback selected and third overall pick.
Back when NFL draft betting was prime.
Was wonderful. The French Open that year, right? Swiatek, the most dominant thing in life is her, the French Open. She was plus 450. We hit that three times. NBA title, Warriors plus 550. This is all in 2022. NBA draft number one pick, Banchero, 7-1 and 6-1. College World Series, Ole Miss, 100-1. U.S. Open, Swiatek, she won it, 7-1. And then the Atlanta Braves, people remember when they were behind the Mets down the stretch of that pennant race in the NL East, hit them at plus money 17 different times. 2022 was a complete windfall. And the
Was that 2022 or last summer?
That was 2022. All of that that I just mentioned was 2022. So not last year, the year before.
Man, time flies.
Okay. So it's as if the gambling gods, and this is, again, if you're going to be, and I want to say it while I'm in the moment because, again, I got to practice this just like anybody else, even if I've been doing it for since the dawn of time. You get in these ruts, though, and sometimes they stretch where you're like, you're not going to let that happen again, ever, gambling gods? So now we've had our wins, right? Carolina last winless, 15-1. Iga every which way. We just hit Iga Alcaraz, Kinyella at the French Open. But
real quick, what was your biggest single tournament that you won the most on Iga? Like all time?
2020 French Open.
2020 French
Even
Open.
Even with the one spot, you know, just absolutely not paying out, it was still the biggest thing. Yeah. I'm sorry, why did that come up organically? So now here are the you did it, not me.
It took me a second too.
That's like where you
just I was like, what? What?
Yeah, Kelly's like laying up the softball. Okay, so but here are this is the stretch since then of some of this stuff. Well, let me go back to one in 2021. Juan Soto, NL MVP, 150-1 odds in 2021. He loses to Bryce Harper in the vote, 348-274. That's a 150-1.
Yeah,
all right, but let's go since that 2022 year. Max Duggan Heisman, 100-1. He loses, and he should have lost, to Caleb Williams. The final vote, 2031-1420, in terms of the whole vote. Okay. Spencer Strider, by the way, you remember that last year. He didn't even get to the final, so we can't imagine that.
What a bet on Duggan, though. Like, that is one of the... Like, who would have ever thought he would have been there?
I'm just telling you, the theme of the last year and a half, generally, we've had our wins, but generally is great bets that just don't get there, right? Brock Purdy. Remember Brock Purdy for MVP? He got to, people forget, minus 250 before that Baltimore game, and then in one fell swoop, done. I'm not even saying he deserved to win it, but I'm just saying these were bets that, at long odds, had their moment. Puka Nacua, 25-1, Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll never forget that. He probably should have lost to C.J. Stroud, because Stroud, any other year, right? 246-154 in the vote.
That was, I'll almost always say quarterback's going to have a leg up.
Yeah.
Stroud was that good. Like, yeah. Almost any other year, Puka's winning that award.
I'm just talking about, these are like, you have to be able to just endure these, right? Victor Wembanyama, let's get more recent. Victor Wembanyama, 18-1. People had him at way longer than I did for Defensive Player of the Year. He loses to Gobert, 433-245. And I think the entire world, including those that voted for Gobert, have admitted, yeah, we got that wrong. By the way, Damar Hamlin, they're already changing the rules on that, too.
Yeah, right.
Guardian, 65-1, most wins, March, April, famously one out away. We didn't get there. I would argue Guardians in May at 16-1 was even a worse beat because they went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies. You're sensing a theme here, right? FSU, 35-1, check swing might have changed the entire destiny of FSU. And then I just want to take the last 3 days in women's tennis. Can we just do that? The most recent of all. Heather Watson, 2 days ago, plus 180, up 5-2 in the third set, gacks it. Victoria Golubic yesterday, plus 225, up 6-4, 5-4 on a racket, gacks it. Ekaterina Alexandrova this morning, up 6-3 in the first set tiebreaker against Coco, loses the next 5 points. So I'm just saying, like, at certain points in your sports betting life, if you do this long enough, this is going, maybe not to this degree with all of these plus money bets that are really long shot bets, but are like clearly were great by the number, but just didn't get there. You have to endure it. And you will go through moments where you're like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
I can't take this anymore. But that's where we are now.
I think it happens to me every single NBA season, pretty much. at one point in the NBA season, I'm like, all right, I always hit a hot streak for a couple weeks, sometimes it's long, but there's always like a 2-3 week stretch where you're like, I'm just getting my face kicked in right now.
I don't like, and here's the thing, and we're not mining coal here, so let me just say that up front, right? We're sitting at a shield at a corner bar on the second floor of a downtown hotel.
A grandfather mined coal.
That's right. Oh, did he?
He did.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Grandfather mined coal?
Yes, in the Great Mountains of Pennsylvania.
My grandfather had a little more difficult than that, but that's a different story. So anyway, the the point is that, where was I going with this? Oh, I don't think our bosses, right? I'm not casting dispersions here, but I don't think they get that you in golf, me in tennis, right? We are handicapping this thing daily, right? And then if you win, awesome. But you're going to lose. And if you lose in a relentlessly horrific fashion like these, again, these aren't Purdue at minus 4,500. These are plus money bets that you're, know are long shots, but they're good bets either. I don't think, they get the compartmentalization that has to happen. Then we come in here and still knock it out. But I'm just saying, because we were talking about scar tissue with Rufus, and I was talking about him versus his brother, and we were talking about, Dr. Bob, if you ask him, what's the key to being a successful better long-term? He says, overcoming negative variance. And the counter to this would be, oh, well, those women's tennis matches, you should realize that those girls are all going to gack it at the end. Well, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't realize that. Like, eventually, those are supposed to get home.
Every one of those matches, you could take a small piece of the other side live at plus money. But, like, what are you doing in the long run?
Unless you're doing a show.
But that's not something you would normally do anyway.
No. Like, what are we talking about? Absolutely not. Yeah. And you wouldn't in those positions either. Yeah. Anyway, that's our I'm sensitive to the fact, because Wishnev does this every night when he loses a WNBA bet.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to do it over the course of a year, long shots that we
I think it's a great topic, and it's something that, like, the mental side of it you have to be aware of. And, like, I mean, seriously, this is I can't remember ever seeing Drew as shook as he was, points this year.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jason yesterday, those back-to-back golf weeks that he had.
Brutal.
Those singularly are losses bad enough to, like, make you take the rest of the season.
And we're the ones with the scar tissue. Imagine if you don't have them. We'll come back. Zach Cohen on tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Next week, we're releasing our NFL betting guide. This guide is your ultimate resource for the football season. That's the football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analyses. And, of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down for the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. Don't miss your chance to sign up and save ahead of the NFL season. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. And use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month.
ANG, like a numbers game.
A new gift. That is VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Brian Moranian. Morianin. Sorry, Brian. Brian Morianin. He says, if Kelly's grandfather went a little further south and mined a certain green clay, he would own the D.
I could be rich as hell. What the heck?
That's your grandfather doing. Master of Puppets. Great segment right now. But you did hit Ole Miss at 100-1. Oh, we mentioned that for 2022. Chris Heath, Kelly, so much more than a producer today. The Westgate scandal, Gil's grandfather. It's all in there. Kelly just serving it up. Ladies and gentlemen, he's part of the Zach and Crack duo that rivals Hall and Oates for top 10 smashes over the years. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior writer, who joins us. Betting on X is his Twitter handle, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Well, besides gacking tennis matches of plus 180 and plus 225 and plus 160, I can't think of anything else. How about you? How are you doing?
Good. Well, I've been having some fun with this grass season so far. I mean, I do have an Alcaraz parlay in right now, and it looks like he's about to lose to Draper. But at the same time, right after the French Open, I wrote up a Wimbledon preview, and I gave out Draper at 100-1. I think now he's down to 40-1.
Do you think he's live to win? In other words, I got a question from, I think it was Velika yesterday. Yes. He was like, do you think Draper can make a run? I said, yes. He said, do you think he can win it? I said, I don't know. You do.
That's kind of a...
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wrote in my thing. Like, I don't know for sure that he can win, but I think he has the potential to make a very deep run. And at that point, you're looking at probably some really good prices to hedge. Or if you see, you get a little bit of luck elsewhere in the draw, maybe he can win. I do think that Wimbledon, of all the majors, is going to be the one that's most open as we go into the Alcaraz and Sinner era.
Yeah. I would say that on the women's side, I guess, is kind of in open in quotes, meaning we could get any number of ladies winning this.
Yeah, but I also took Iga for this one too, because I feel like it's kind of gone a little like unnoticed. But you know, Iga's hold percentage is way up this year. All of her numbers across the board are honestly more impressive this season than they've ever been, which is scary for a player that has dominated the women's game in general. But also, you know, she's spoken a lot about the way she's tailored her game for faster surfaces. You know, she's really worked on her serve. She's sped up her forehand. I think that she's trying to do, you know, make a dent in these quicker surfaces. So I think Wimbledon, U.S. Open, I think she's going to be really locked in.
I bet her yesterday after saying that I might not, and but then she came out and she made those comments. She's like, look, me transitioning to clay is super easy, meaning in this case the Olympics right afterwards. And when she said that, I kind of nodded. I was like, oh yeah, so she is going to be full throttle at Wimbledon. She's never won a grass tournament on the main tour ever in all of her 22. None of them are on grass, but it would it shock anyone to see her win this? It wouldn't me. So I bet her yesterday. What number did you get?
I think it was like plus 360. I'm not sure if I remember that correctly.
Plus 378 is what I got off.
Okay, yeah, so that's probably
place.
What I got.
Yes. So, yeah, I took a flyer on it too. Now, would I be shocked if a Rybakina or a Sabalenka won on this surface? I would not either. What? How many players total do you think could possibly win on the women's side? Did I just name the three, or are there more?
I think that there's a bunch, honestly. Like, I think that any of the big servers can kind of get hot and potentially win this tournament. Like, I put Osaka in as a player to watch. I mean, that hasn't really looked great to start the grass season. She hasn't looked, you know, like she's built any momentum off of that French Open performance against Iga. But I do think this is a tournament that she can win. And I guess there are, I mean, a few others. I'm kind of blanking right now. I mean, I would have said like a Caroline Garcia in a different year, not this year. Maybe like a Madison Keys goes deep in the tournament. But I think a player with a lot of power can get hot on the right day and win any match.
Would you, on the men's side, would you rather have Draper, or would you rather have a serve bot like a Milos Raonic?
I'd rather have Draper, but I did also in that same column, I put in Hubie Hurkacz and Taylor Fritz, two guys that I think can potentially make deep runs, and I have Fritz to win Queen's Club, so yeah, hopefully for the best there.
There you go. Okay, anything else in tennis today that you have? Any bets?
I have Brandon Nakashima to beat Lorenzo Musetti, and I also have Jean-Leonard Struff to beat Stefano Tsitsipas. I just think that, you know, Musetti's a player that I really like. I back him all the time, honestly, probably a little too much, but I think there's a little too much flash in his game. Nakashima plays a much more straightforward style. He has a little bit of a better serve, a more sturdy baseline game. I like his two-handed backhand. And then with Struff, I mean, I just haven't been impressed with Tsitsipas lately. I thought that match against Squire in the first round was really, you know, kind of concerning. I thought that he should be able to break serve against a player like that. And if he's struggling to do so in that type of match, I don't see him breaking against Struff. So I think that's a match that we probably see a tiebreaker or two. But I trust Struff to get the job done on this surface. He's a really good quick court player as well.
Yeah, I have Jan-Lennard Struff today as well. That was my second pick on VSiN.com/picks. Again, Zach's tennis picks, all of his picks, every host, every guest on the network, every sport for VSiN subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. I, too, am on Struff, which means in the current pocket that I'm in, Zach, we'll get it to one game within a victory, and then God knows what could happen at that point. All right, here's the NBA draft thing. The Atlanta Hawks, remember, they won the number one overall pick despite having the 10th best odds. You came on this show some time ago and said you are taking, you're going to take a flyer on Klingon, Donovan Klingon, to go number one. Now, their early target was, by all reports, Alexander Saar, but it seems like he's not trying to work out with them, despite the Hawks' attempts to bring him in. And so what you have now in the market is Zachary Risache and Klingon. They have moved up. They're shorter. This is according to Jonathan Gavoni. You're feeling good about this, I would imagine. So it's Saar at minus 115. This is to go number one. Zachary Risache, both the French players at plus 110.
Flip now? Actually. Yeah, Risache is the favorite as of this morning at minus 115.
Okay, so Risache, the slight favorite, Saar, the slight dog, and then Klingon at plus 370. This going to happen for you?
I hope so. Yeah, I gave out Klingon at plus 1,100 and plus 1,200. Now it's looking like it's Risache or Klingon. I think the problem with the Hawks is they have a lot of voices in their front office, and you kind of don't know who's going to get to make the pick. And so I kind of the whole time said, if Quinn Snyder, the head coach, has any say in this pick, I think he's going to go Klingon because I don't think he wants to go through a long rebuild. I think he wants somebody that can anchor that defense and really, you know, kind of make up for Trae Young's inability to guard the perimeter. Klingon can do that. I think Klingon is a player that's a lot like, you know, a Rudy Gobert, maybe more like a Marc Gasol, just a guy that can really just be a massive body in the paint, contests every shot. But then offensively, he's a really good passer. Apparently, he's shooting the three ball really well in workouts. I mean, which is not that surprising if you just look at the way he shoots the ball. Like, he has really nice form. So I think if he's a guy that is making shots consistently and you're comfortable with it in the way he's shooting the ball in workouts, like, it makes a lot of sense to grab him at one in a weak draft, because I do think he has all defense upside, and whatever he can do on offense is just gravy.
What are you seeing in terms of the breadth of the menu here for the draft itself?
I like this draft a little bit better than most people do, but I think that because I write about the draft, I just kind of like fall in love with players that maybe other people wouldn't. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of value to be had later in the draft, and I do think that we're going to get, you know, a few all-stars in this draft. I just kind of think that it's inevitable that some players in the draft will turn into an all-star. This one is one where there are players with all types of upside, maybe have some concerns with shooting or something like that, but, you know, most of these teams can figure something like that out.
Yeah, DraftKings has a ton posted.
DraftKings, they
keep putting more and more stuff up. It's really impressive. To that point, Zach, I mean, hey, we all thought the Anthony Edwards draft was going to be terrible, and he's looking pretty good right now.
I think the consensus is it's just not top heavy, right? But there are a lot of good players in this draft. Just doesn't have the superstar here. By the way, when Nevada gets legalized sports betting, I'm sure we're going to have at least one NBA draft prop. Where do you fall on Bronny?
I like Bronny a little bit. I think he's going to be, you know, potentially a solid rotation player. Like, I don't think he should go 17 to the Lakers. I don't think the Suns should take him at 22. But I think in the second round, he's a decent value. Like, I think that people ignore about Bronny is that he was like the 20th ranked player in his high school class. And, you know, was above players, like right in the range of a player like Reed Shepard, who's now projected to go top five in this draft. I think that Bronny is a talented player that had a really tough go in college. I think that people ignore kind of the fact that he went into cardiac arrest, you know, in the summer, got off to a slow start where he really wasn't able to ramp up for training camp. They played him, you know, short minutes when he started the season out. And he was playing for a USC team that had a bunch of ball dominant guards. So I don't think that, you know, getting him good looks from three was, you know, a priority for the USC offense. I think that Bronny's a player that can defend on the perimeter, can hit the three. I kind of think he's like a Deuce McBride type, where you're going to like him coming off the bench.
Do you have any bets on him? Are you Kelly either? Either of you guys? Nothing.
I took the under on that 38.5.
Okay.
I don't know how good I feel about it right now because, you know, yesterday Rich Paul came out and said that he's not going at 17. He's not going at 22. So that was kind of my theory, is that he had a draft promise somewhere in the first round. But at the same time, he kind of threw out there that the Raptors are interested. They have a pick in the 30s. So I still can see him going, you know, 38 or earlier.
All right, Zach. Good luck with Klingon. Good luck with tennis. Wimbledon draw, what do we think of the 29th of June? Like, I think it might be a weekend, right?
I think so. Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that pod with you.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough pre-draw pod, as though, is what it's going to be. Thank you, Zach. I look forward to that. Enjoy, man.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X, Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back with Matt Grissom on college baseball on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Bar Canada, the Barrage. We get tweets of beating the book. Best listeners in the game, Martle J, Gil's grandpa, 1, Kelly's grandpa, 0. I'll leave it at that.
Jesus.
It's the stupidest thing getting traction. Colin Murphy, great segment. Everyone goes through their ups and downs, but when it comes to the tennis bets, wouldn't it make sense to put a half unit or a little more on the spread and half unit on the money line to mitigate the negative variance on some of these? Some of these, yes, Colin, but the issue with tennis is the mental aspect of it. Let's take this morning's. Ekaterina Alexandrova up 6-3 in the tiebreaker, first set tiebreaker against Coco. On her serve, right? So she gets up 2 mini breaks. So she ends up losing at 8-6. And then you know, if you've, you know, been betting this long enough or you're watching this, you know very well that the mental aspect of this just crumbles someone where that happens to. So, of course, she then, you know, at that moment, not only is she losing the match, but it's not going to be competitive. And so she ends up losing that second set 6-2. So she doesn't cover the game spread either. So there's a lot of that in tennis, too. So it's not quite as simple as you're making it out. Not that you're making it out to be, but I think you're right that in some cases, I guess what I'm saying is it will work out. But in others, it just, it doesn't. And so I've had success just playing the money line on the dog. This is from Brandon Kyles. The super long shots not getting home are one thing, but the robberies particularly sting. Hamlin, comeback player of the year. He says, Jokic 2023 MVP. Oh, well, such is life when betting on subjective markets. Yes, and we know that about awards markets specifically.
I was going to say overall great point, but I think that's even, it's like long shots are in a category, and we need to start separating awards into a separate category
100%,
as well. 100%. Because it is... I mean, we talk about them a lot. We understand it's partially for the content, partially because we think there's interesting betting angles. But there is how many times where you think you've got it dead on, and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters what 11 people voting at the end of a game think.
And Phil Weiss continues to hate listen to us every day, every single word. Finds bad and only the good.
Obsessed with this picture from John Balduzzi.
Okay, and then John Balduzzi, oh my God, because we talked about Rufus yesterday, the other day.
The ultimate picture out of the plane.
From a middle seat, he said. Rufus flying into London, you know, leans over whoever poor soul was in the window
seat.
Who
does that?
Goes bang, and he gets this big, this beautiful picture of the river and London Bridge, I believe. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
The River Thames?
The River Thames. Right, and London Bridge.
Could have
also
been any river.
The London,
London
Eye. I don't know if he got the eye in there. I'm actually hyping up his picture a little more than it was. But then John Balduzzi just took one. He goes, ask what Gil's biggest ego win was. Too soon, man, too soon. And he goes, also per last week, rate my landing picture. So he is land. This is from a plane over D.C.
Gave it an 8.7 out of 10.
I'm going to tell you about that. We got to show this picture. We got to put this up next segment. But he's got the Lincoln Memorial in the foreground, right? Then he's got the basin between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. No building in D.C. can be higher than the Washington Monument. And then
I didn't know that.
Then that stretch to the Capitol, the United States Capitol. And then deep, deep, deep in the background behind the United States Capitol, this is where only the educated DCI will be able to pick this up, RFK Stadium.
Oh!
Theater of Thrills. Home of the three-time Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins. Great job, John Balduzzi. You're in first place with your
picture. Is that the big like white thing past it?
No, that's that like thing in the see way past the Capitol.
Yeah. I know that's what I'm talking about. So I looked up. There, I was asking. I was like, "What's this construction going on in this picture?"
At the Lincoln Memorial.
There is construction going on at the Lincoln Memorial. I just googled it. The Undercroft. Apparently, there's an Undercroft at the Lincoln Memorial that is being renovated.
Define Undercroft.
I have no idea. Underneath the Lincoln, underneath a memorial of some kind.
Right, we got to get that picture up. And you know what else? What other picture we have to get up? Roxy sent me a picture of him in a top hat. Remember, I was questioning Rufus. Rufus was like, "Yeah, Roxy's in a top hat at you know the horse races in England." I'm like, "I got to get it." So Roxy sent me one. So we got to show him that.
Baller move. You can pull that off.
Matt Grissom joins us right now. He never wears a top hat. He joins us from Arkansas College BaseballInsiders.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. Had a little trip out to Omaha. Saw some really good baseball. I can't complain.
Oh, you went? I missed that somehow.
I went for the first time. I was there until, I guess, Tuesday. I ran into Derek Stevens and the crew from Circa out there.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of great baseball.
I have always wanted to go. You finally hit that bucket list item. Where does it rank for you in terms of sporting events attended?
I think it's number one. I mean, and I love college baseball, but that was an experience unlike any other. Getting to sit there with all these different fan bases, and, you know, I'm a diehard Razorback fan, so with them not even being there and having this much fun, I can't wait until the Hogs finally make it back, because that's just going to exemplify it even more. But it was a great experience.
I like your college baseball insider's hat. Looks just like an L.A. Raiders hat. Was that by intention?
I'm a big fan of Titleist, the golf brand.
Okay, there you go.
The script idea, yeah.
Same font. Did you go and the College Baseball World Series, for those who don't know, in Omaha. So it is eight teams. And it is just absolutely great. Yesterday, I mean, I know you weren't there yesterday, but yesterday was just this awesome day of three games because of a rainout the night before. Do you think Florida, before we get into your thoughts about Tennessee and Texas A&M here in the College World Series final best of three, do you think that rainout really was fair ultimately to, I mean, I guess they couldn't have played it anyway, but they called it so early in the day, right? The FSU North Carolina game was going on and they're like, yeah, we're done. So Florida, if you're going to get to the finals, you're going to have to win twice in one day. Was that fair Could they have done anything about it? Probably not, I'm guessing, but I'm getting your thoughts on that. And then Florida going up 7-1 yesterday in the early game, did they mismanage anything, having lost ultimately in the second game?
I don't think so. I mean, the weather's always an issue in Omaha. We saw them play in that super late game that didn't start till, I think, 11:30 Eastern. We didn't leave the ballpark that night. They lost to A&M 3-2. We didn't leave the ballpark until about 1:30 in the morning. So Florida kind of got the brunt of it as far as playing. Texas A&M, that just kind of goes to show the benefit of going up through the winner's bracket. You know, them and Tennessee, they're both sitting there at 3-0. They never had to throw off their typical rotation. So I think Florida, they were put, you know, in the back seat once they lost that first game to A&M. And same could be said for Florida State after the controversial loss to Tennessee in that game one.
Yeah.
Blake Burke did go around. That was not just a check swing, but it is what it is. And now you've got the two best teams in the field facing off. But yeah, to go back for Florida, I don't think there's anything you could have done differently. Some teams really like playing a doubleheader. You're out there, you're loose, especially when you turn it on against Kentucky, you know, and the bats really get going. So I liked Florida headed into that game, but you could tell pretty early on that it was A&M's to lose, and I chickened out of my Florida plus 1.5 bet, jumped on A&M live. I didn't feel like Florida had the pen to sit there and be able to contend with A&M.
Yeah, well, FSU didn't have the pen to contend with Tennessee either, but for sure that check swing could have changed history because they would have had Jamie Arnold on the hill today against Tennessee, and we will never know. We will never know the outcome. So the Noles and those of us who had tickets on it, we're just left with that. As far as the best of three finals, Tennessee is the rightful favorite. They are trying to be the first number one overall, man, to get to the promised land, to win the College World Series since Texas in 2010. We have not seen that since then. Tennessee's lineup just absolutely stacked. They're a minus 210 series favorite. Again, best of three. This starts on Saturday with game one. Texas A&M plus 170 on the series. And as far as game one is concerned, Tennessee minus 154, Texas A&M plus 120 on the comeback. How do you see either game or series?
You know, I'm rooting for Tennessee. I wrote up in the VSIN college baseball preview that I thought these would be the last two teams left. And if you believed in the curse of the number one overall seed, you should back Texas A&M. I just don't know. I think the blow of losing Braden Montgomery and Shane Sadow, I think that's going to come back to haunt them. Granted, it didn't hurt them at all through the first week of the College World Series. I think AJ Causey, Chris Stamos, the opener, you know, full slate guy for Tennessee, kind of their ace that doesn't start versus Ryan Prager is going to tell us a lot in game one. If you like A&M to win this, I feel like your best shot is with Prager on the mound. So maybe just take the plus 120 in game one. But for Tennessee, this is a stacked team. We've seen guys run through walls for Tony Vitello, literally. This team is just playing out of their minds right now. They've got the pitching depth. Their lineup is so stacked. And while A&M's scores didn't jump off the page, kind of like Tennessee's did, A&M rightfully deserved to be here, and they're going to give it all they've got. But Ryan Prager, then Justin Lampkin, if he can repeat his success that he had in the first week of the College World Series, we'll see. They're going to need it. But I think this is Tennessee's to lose at this point.
I think you're right. And I think FSU is the only team that could have beaten them. I really do. We shall see. This should be fun. Matt, have appreciated you. Both of us have the whole way through. Thanks for making the time again.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matt Grissom, collegebaseballinsiders.com. Analytics College Baseball. We'll talk AL and NL MVP next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Can we show these pictures? This is a picture from a plane. John Balduzzi. This beats Rufus's, I believe, because there it is, Lincoln Memorial foreground, Washington Monument. Then you'll see the Capitol, and if you really use a magnifying glass behind the Capitol, Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium. really small in the background. So that, the RFK Stadium puts it over the top. You think this is better than Rufus's? Over the River Thames?
Ooh, I don't know.
Rufus's.
They're very close.
Yeah. I'm biased because of the stadium.
I think I'm going to still go with Rufus.
Wow.
But it's tight. It's very tight.
John, 1-1.
That's the stadium, right? I was saying the little white speck past the Capitol building, right?
It's not a white speck. It's a curved thing in the
right,
background.
Yeah, but it's white, right? The white curve?
Yeah, let me get a better. Yeah, the white curve, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a speck, though. It's like bigger, way bigger than the Capitol is
no,
though, to
is,
the right.
Right. Correct. Yes, yeah. It is.
Call it a speck. You know how many Super Bowls are won in that thing? Not actually in that stadium, but
I mean, this angle's interesting. I did not know it was that close.
Well, he's taking it from a phone, from a plane.
Right.
What do you did not know what was that close?
The stadium.
Oh yeah, I mean DC small. This is northwest Washington DC. So that's where all the monuments are, and then right at sort of the edge is RFK Stadium. DC, everybody. Little shot overhead. We'll get Roxy's top hat picture to you next. That's very exciting. AL and NL MVP. You put this in the rundown, which is good job by you. But here's the thing with both of these, and we touched on this a little yesterday. I feel like, and this is nicely juxtaposed against our initial conversation on the show today about, these awards markets. I feel like in both the American League and the National League, we have situations where unless an injury happens, we kind of know which way this is going. Let's start with the AL. Aaron Judge is -125. Could you make a case for someone else? For instance, Jason Weingarten came on the show and was talking about how Juan Soto, at that time at +550, Aaron Judge's teammate, now at 5-1, he was saying Soto's better than Judge and that he doesn't think that there should be that big of a spread between those two players. He might be right about that in terms of a spread, but Aaron Judge, right now, 26 homers, right? Leads the major leagues with 26 home runs. RBI tied with Jose Ramirez with 64 RBI. And then if you go to the third, we'll just start with the Triple Crown stats to make it easy. What is he? 302 batting average, which is, I'll count, second, third, fourth. He's fifth in batting average in the American League. So you have a guy who, on batting average, is the only thing keeping him from being in the Triple Crown category right now. Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals, 323. So Judge has a ways to go there if he were to get the Triple Crown. But every other stat, like Aaron, you'll see Aaron Judge stats on Twitter, and the name Barry Lamar Bonds will be invoked in terms of the last player to do this well, and you name the advanced stat Barry Bonds in whatever year, right? So if you're in a sentence with that guy, -125. Now, he got hit in the hand with a pitch the other day.
I was gonna say, any concern about that?
He seems to be okay. I mean, they're saying it was negative.
Night.
Didn't play
yeah.
last night.
But the tests were negative.
Gunnar Henderson got beaned for that atrocity to Aaron Judge.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He got, I bet my barber yesterday that
he
would. I took the Will Hill bet.
Not in his first at bat, though. I think Will took first at bat, right? Or did he take a general?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, Aaron Judge, I just think unless there's an injury, you can make your case. Like, remember my case was Jose Ramirez. I was like 25-1 before the season. Oh, I was so mad that I didn't make the Jose Ramirez 25-1 bet. And then deep in the season, as the Guardians are almost winning most wins in March, April, almost winning most wins in May, I'm like, Jose Ramirez is now proving he's every bit of the ball player that I thought he was, or that everybody who knows him and loves him thought he was with the 25-1. Guess what he is now? He's 30-1. Because I can sit here and make a case for him, but is he really going to beat Aaron Judge in a vote if they both play this well the rest of the season and neither gets hurt? He's not. He's just not, even though you can make a case for it. The way that these voters go, and yes, is there a Yankee bias? Of course there is. So for me, it's Aaron Judge or bust right now, and I can't really sit here and say, oh, you should go bet Jose Ramirez, because I don't, in my heart of hearts, I'm not betting it, and I don't think, all things being equal, the rest of the way, he could win it.
Soto, back to him for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, this market, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it was Judge like +120 and Soto just behind him. 5-1? Like, there's any interest
well,
on that?
That's what Jason was saying. Jason was making the point that he thinks Juan Soto's a better overall ball player than Aaron Judge and that he probably shouldn't be 5-1. And I'm not saying
I think Jason was talking about that one before Soto got hurt.
He was talking about it when Soto was +550 last week.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, I understand that sentiment. I just don't agree with, at this point, I don't know. I think Juan Soto's a better, in my mind's eye, do I think Juan Soto is a better player than Aaron Judge overall? Probably, but if I put numbers to it this year, you can't really make that case.
Well, and there's there's the popularity factor, right? Like he's still Aaron Judge is still the bigger name on the Yankees than Juan Soto.
NL MVP, and we talked about this yesterday. So if you missed it, I'll sort of rehash it. But the question came out about Marcell Ozuna of the Atlanta Braves, and this has to do, let's go back to Triple Crown numbers. Marcell Ozuna is closer to a Triple Crown right now. Here we are on June 20th in the National League than even Aaron Judge is in the American League. Marcell Ozuna right now leads the National League in home runs with 20. Actually, he's tied now with Shohei Ohtani, 20 home runs in the National League. He does lead the NL in RBI with 63 RBIs. And then in terms of average, batting average, only Luis Arraez, of course, at 319 and Shohei at 317 trump Marcell Ozuna's 316. So the question becomes, wow, he's still 10-1. Would you bet on him at 10-1? And we brought up the biggest thing about him. He has off the field issues. Domestic battery. It's not like a light weighted off the field thing. So do you really think, now if he wins the Triple Crown, remember, 2012, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in the American League or the National League since 1967. Right. Carl Yastrzemski won it in 1967 with the Boston Red Sox. So it would have been 45 years. Do I have that right? Yes, 45 years. And Miguel Cabrera of the Tigers won the Triple Crown. There was a bunch of advanced stat heads who were like, oh, you got to give it to Trout. Look at all the advanced stats. But I was like, you can't talk about something like a Triple Crown, no matter how manufactured that term is or that we've come up with that as a catch-all in baseball. You can't talk about something for 45 years. And then when it finally happens, look the other way and cite other stats. And so they gave it to Miguel Cabrera in 2012. Does that still have the same cachet? Like if Marcell Ozuna won the Triple Crown in 2024, would voters vote for him if Shohei and or Bryce Harper, another beloved player with a big name, if they had awesome seasons that were just a tick below that, would they really vote for Marcell Ozuna, domestic battery situation, even though he gets the Triple Crown?
I think they would.
You think they would?
I think they would. I think you and Jason summed it up well yesterday, but I just...
And even if he's one RBI shy, they won't. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. Yes. That is exactly what
I'm
saying.
That was the point I was trying to make yesterday. Is that the line in the sand with him?
Yeah, and I don't, you can feel however you want to feel about that. That's what I think would happen. If that's how it ended up, yes. I think a Triple Crown is still that big of a deal. It's going to end up mattering more. The one I always keep going back to is Shohei in this market. It's kind of like the Nikola Jokic thing, right? Is this the year just where they, with him not pitching, that the writers are going to be like, we're going to give it to him every year going forward. Let's look at someone else to try to get this award to if it's remotely close. That's just that's in the back of my head this entire season, ending into the season, this whole season with Shohei.
Yeah. By the way, just to clarify, Atlanta Braves star Marcell Ozuna arrested and accused of domestic violence back in February. Arrested in September, originally charged with felony domestic violence after an incident with his wife in the parking lot at the stadium. So what does all that mean? It's one of those where usually you come out and you're like, when we talk about Wimbledon or we talk about these other bets that we've made, we have a long shot thought. I don't believe I have one because I think that Aaron Judge with the Yankee bias and quite frankly, Shohei with the Dodger bias are so worthy of it, first of all, on their play on the field and their numbers, that to sit here and give you a long shot play is just kind of, I'm not betting it, so I'm not going to tell you to bet it. I just, Mookie got hurt.
I was going to say, get Mookie off the board. What do we do? He's out for 8 weeks, right? 6 to 8 weeks? Come on. There's no shot he has at winning this, right?
No, not at, currently,
I mean, not
at
35
way.
To 1. You should be betting. I mean, that should be triple digits.
I mean, the Reds got to do better. The Reds have kind of fallen in a funk for Ellie De La Cruz to really pop up in this conversation to me. Same thing with Fernando Tatis Jr., where wins matter in these categories. And names matter. So I just think that's the way it shakes out right now in both of these categories. Wish it was a sexier conversation, but sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles. We'll come back unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. No telling where this goes. Exclusively on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.